Hello, and welcome back to Season 2 of Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. If you're new here, I'm Crystal O'Keefe, podcaster, managing editor, writer, everything else for Southside Sox. And I have a guest returning. Michael was on last year to discuss the Royals, and he is back. So, Michael, please reintroduce yourself if you'd like.
Yeah, I am Michael. I do the Royal Deluxe podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network, and I also contribute to the Royals on another platform called Fans to First. Fans to First. Wow. Sorry. Lack of sleep. Super disorganized. It's called farmtofountains.com. So other written commentary by people who are a lot smarter than me, I always say. That's another place to get good Royals content over there.
Wonderful. So what is new in Kansas City?
A lot is new, actually. Like, we had maybe, I really want to say, the largest overhaul of any Major League Baseball team this past winter. We had we brought in quite a lot in free agency. Not like a ton of, you know, top level players, but just a lot of solid, like, mid level players. As we're recording, we just had, not today, but yesterday, on Saturday, one of them pitched for us, Seth Lugo, and pitched a very, very good game for us. But yeah, it's been this is a much different flavor of Kansas City Royals this year.
Yeah, for sure. How do you feel about the White Sox stealing almost all of your players and coaches in the last year?
Yeah, that's been a thing we've been following in the fan bases. We're just kind of like, what? Because it's, I'm going to be real, it's not like you've gotten players that we miss all that much.
No.
Although, like, we respect some of them. Like, Benintendi was great for us when he was around. You've got Nicky Lopez, who's like a cult favorite over in KC. There are, like, you know, like, there's some guys that we respect, but it is kind of strange. Most of them are coming from the 2019 Royals, yeah, in particular, like Martin Maldonado. That team lost 103 games. I hope you realize that.
Oh, just watching him in spring training alone, I was like, I am done with this guy.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah, it's strange. And, you know, I feel like I owe you an apology, because when I was here last time, it was still really early in the season, so I don't think we could fully understand what was going on with both of our teams. And myself and a lot of Royals fans, we actually really believed in Grifol, and we really thought this guy was going to be good. Like we weren't just trying to be nice, and we weren't trying to blow smoke. We liked this guy, and we wanted him to be our manager at one point. And we're thinking, man, that guy's really going to turn it around over in Southside. So I don't know what happened, but it's actually kind of sad to see that the place is just so messed up with him.
I am starting to think that maybe I'm starting to think there was just a curse left ahead of Tony La Russa. That's my only thing, because it's really been downhill since then. I can't explain anything else. It's just bad. Ricky Renteria, that's who I was talking about. He, I think, cursed the whole ballpark, like just everything, because it all started going downhill. I mean, not that he was a great coach, but it all really just went downhill after he was no longer the manager on the team. So I don't know.
Management. Tricky position, I guess. It's not as easy as a lot of people say. It's not just a matter of sorting out the lineup and deciding which pitcher is pitching when. But yeah.
Yeah, we had Tony. Now we've got Pedro. We lost Rick Hahn, but we somehow got worse than Rick Hahn again.
Yeah. Chris Getz, Royals legend over there.
Oh, yeah. That's all we have. We're just Royals legends. We're really just the Northern Royals at this point. That being said, though, how would you grade the Royals offseason, and like what was the best move you think they might have made?
I would say for real, like A+, honestly, which I'm not someone who would really give a generous rating to the Royals like that. I've complained a lot in the past about how little they've done in the offseason. But, I mean, I was always saying, like, they need to get at least two good starting pitchers, maybe a reliever or two, maybe an outfielder or so. And they did all of that and then did the most important thing that I think everybody in KC wanted, which was extend Bobby Witt Jr. That was the, you know, biggest, most franchise-defining move. I would say that was probably the biggest move, but in terms of, like, bringing in new players, it's hard to really value anyone over the other, because I feel like everyone's kind of on, like, the same level and kind of fulfills a similar necessity. But just based on what I've seen so far, it's a little bit unfair, but I'll say Seth Lugo has been my favorite just because he's already pitched one really good game for us. That's unfair to Michael Wacha, though, because he hasn't pitched for us at all yet. He's pitching on Monday.
That's fair, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, I noticed all of yours, and I was pretty jealous. But yeah, I agree that Bobby Witt Jr. extension was A-plus for you guys. So jealous. So with that said, how confident are you feeling kind of going into this season?
Well, everything being said about the Royals, for as much will continue to change over time, we also have to understand this team lost 106 games last year. So even improving by 20 games is going to still put us well below 500. And myself and many other people in the Royal space, we think that's about what to expect. Like, a 75 win team should be expected with these guys. This is still a super young core that has not really competed at the high level, and, you know, obviously the record in the past two seasons has spoken for itself. And a lot of those guys that we brought in aren't, you know, top level guys. We didn't bring in ace pitchers. We brought in decent, you know, kind of filler guys to just kind of help us get us through the season. You know, guys who can still be good, but they're not going to, you know, take us over the top. So, yeah, just an inoffensively mediocre season. That's all we're really expecting from the Royals, even though that's still a massive improvement over the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything else before, because we'll take a quick break, but is there anything else really new that you feel the need to update on with Kansas City?
Not really. It'll just be interesting to see what's going on with this team in terms of that young core and how it develops, because obviously Bobby Witt Jr., our golden boy, that a lot of expectations on him that he is very quickly living up to. Like, he's having such a tremendous start to the season. But
he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, but also late into last season, we kind of stumbled into some weird success stories. Like, we got some trades for guys that ended up being way better than anyone ever expected. Like, Cole Reagans, who ended up being our opening day starter, as well as Nelson Velasquez, an outfielder who hit like 14 home runs in almost, or just around 40 games. Just absolutely insane. But also some guys we've been developing for a while, like Kyle Isbell and Angie Melendez and Michael Massey. They've shown a lot of improvements over time, and we're just hoping that kind of carries over. And so far, Massey's on the injured list, but Isbell and Melendez, they've been looking really good so far. So just how that young core develops as well is a big thing for us.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it, and I agree. Isbell does look good. He's another one that I like him. I like watching him, and he does look like he's showing a lot of improvement. So good on him. Absolutely. Good for you. So we'll take a very quick break to pay some bills, and we'll be right back. All right. And we are back. Apologies if you start hearing my dog whine. She's been without attention for 10 minutes. So
if you hear my cat eating in the background, he's a very messy and loud eater.
Oh.
He's just rattling the bowl.
Well, that's why I heard her rattling something. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she's in my daughter's ice cream. So, okay. Let's get into this series. Obviously, we don't have pitching matchups just yet. It's a little too early for that when we are recording. But what can you tell me about your pitching rotation right now?
So far, it's looking completely indomitable. Between the three starters that we've had so far, we've only given up one run, or maybe two runs. I think Reagans gave up two runs. Yeah, that seems more about right, which is definitely not going to last. We're not going to expect it to be that good forever, but it's still definitely much improved over last year, because last year last year our rotation was 82-year-old Zach Greinke, Jordan Lyles with a 12 ERA or something, and then kind of just whoever else. We've always had really high expectations of Brady Singer, and he should pitch in that series because he only just pitched today. Mm-hmm. So he'll miss the next series against the Orioles. But he took a huge step back. But so far, it's looking like he's all right. His first start was really good against the Twins. So there's that. So yeah, we're expecting to actually field a fairly competitive rotation compared to other teams in baseball this season. Instead of just saying, well, this guy is alive and has an arm that works, so he's going to be pitching every fifth day, because that's really how it was last year. It's just, we got like one or two injuries to the staff early in the season, and we could not recover from that. We had that little depth, but so far, not only did we have the free agents, but we've had some more developments, and we just have a lot more options. So yeah, just it'll be respectable, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. We are kind of in that position of you're alive and you have an arm. They managed to get some pitching, but it wasn't so much helpful. Michael Soroka is very hit or miss. And then we have our former closer that barely played a single game of baseball last season. He was our opening day starter. And he will start in Atlanta for the series too. But he was phenomenal. He was great on opening day. I have no complaints about that one, at least.
Has Eric Fetty pitched yet?
He pitched this last game against the Tigers.
How did he do? Because he was someone that we were kind of thinking about in the Royals community and talking about a lot.
Honestly, it was a close game. So I think he only gave up the one run. He looked halfway decent. Obviously, that's the teeniest, tiniest sample size. So I can't. He looked okay in spring training. He looked okay in this game. So I'm hoping there's going to be some more improvement. But I think, as kind of your mid to end of the rotation, he's fine there.
Okay.
So, sure. Yeah.
That seems fair enough.
He's not bad. So who would be the biggest threat to this White Sox team right now in the Royals?
In like the rotation or just as a player?
Just anybody as a player, rotation, anything.
Well, then definitely Bobby Witt Jr. You like everybody has to be scared of this guy. I mean, super early, and you know, nobody really wants, like, none of us want to put this crazy expectation on him, but like, I mean, if he's going to be just hitting baseballs as hard as he is with the speed that he has, like, I mean, we really are talking about an MVP candidate in the American League.
Yeah, he's definitely the face of your franchise right now.
Absolutely. Right now he's rocking a .545 batting average with a .1273 the slugging percentage. That is his slugging percentage, not his OPS.
Jeez. Oh boy, that's going to be a fun series.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play against the Orioles next, so we're going to be tested against a real team, so to speak.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of have a better picture of what everyone's looking at.
Yeah, the Orioles, I have them going pretty far.
I think they're the best team in the American League. I mean, they already were last year, but like they just brought in all the same guys. They're all still young. It's like I kind of had no reason to believe they won't be as good this season. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually just talked about this right ahead with the Atlanta series. We talked about how the Yankees have all of these weapons right now, but with Gerrit Cole, kind of ambiguous timelines and everything, and Aaron Judge still having this foot issue. Who knows what they're going to end up like, because he was very high on the Yankees. And I was like, well, I'll take a step back, maybe.
Yeah. And those guys are, like, really kind of carrying that roster. Like, there's not too much in that rotation. That lineup, like, could be good, but yeah. Like, I do want to respect the Yankees and say they could be a good team, mm-hmm. but a lot has to break right outside of, you know, Cole and Judge.
And that is the hardest division, period.
Absolutely. I think it could be very similar to last year, where there's four teams above 500 and three of them are playoff teams.
Yeah, for sure. So what are the keys for the Royals to take this series?
Just gotta do what they gotta do. Hopefully that rotation sticks. We're not entirely sure about our bullpen right now because the bullpen hasn't really pitched all that much, and with such a small sample size, who knows? Like, we have this guy, James MacArthur, who we expect to be like an eventual closer, but he gave up a run in his one appearance because of the unluckiest ground ball he gave up to Byron Buxton, you know, which is a great player, so you can't even complain too much. I don't know, just got to keep it together, I guess. I guess I should ask in response, like, what should we be watching out for with the White Sox? Like, what should we expect from you guys?
Obviously, Luis Robert Jr. is scary.
Yes.
He definitely is clearly the best offensive player that we have. And, I mean, you've seen Andrew Benintendi before. He's actually pretty great in the outfield. I wish his bat would work more. But like he's a great presence in the outfield. And then, you know, if we have Corey Lee and we have decent pitching, then that could be an issue. Like I said, Garrett Cole on opening day didn't even have a single walk, and he went through six innings and was just very dominant. He only allowed the one single run, and even that run was kind of fluky. So if you do happen to see Garrett, I don't think you will, but if they happen to see Garrett, he's going to be a great pitcher. Michael Kopech actually looked really great in this last game. He's been coming in as a reliever. So it can be, the pitching can be steady. But I would say more offensively, it's going to be your outfield that's looking really good. Short, like all of our players that are doing shortstop, like Paul DeJong right now has been on a pretty good streak. In fact, the two people that kind of swap for shortstop have scored more home runs in the first three games than Tim Anderson did last season. Mm. So no hate to Tim Anderson. I love him so much.
I really respect that player, and I hope he bounces back.
Yeah. Well, he started off pretty great. So we'll see what he's doing. But I feel like in terms of offense and even defense, we kind of upgraded on that front. And again, no hate to Tim Anderson. He just was not having a good 2023.
Yeah. I do really want to kind of give the White Sox some credit, because I don't think you also actually had a really large overhaul to your roster in the offseason. And I know you didn't fill it with like great players on paper, but I still feel like you made changes that would improve at least a little bit. So yeah, I don't like completely dislike what you guys did over there. And I think and on top of like getting in just better players, like better than negative players, perhaps, I also feel like you got in just like good guys to have around, like in the clubhouse. Like again, Nicky Lopez, we really liked that guy. And it's a lot about vibes, you know, like, and the vibes were definitely off with Chicago last year. And hopefully they'll be at least a little bit less miserable this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there was drama with Yasmani Grandal and Tim Anderson. They're both gone. Tony La Russa is not as much of a presence, it seems like, this season. He still was a bit last season, unfortunately. But, I mean, a lot of these veterans are gone, and it's like an entirely new pitching rotation because we got rid of pretty much every single pitcher that we had.
Yeah.
For barely anything in return. But yeah, it was a huge overhaul. Will it pay off? We don't know. I don't have them winning a ton of games this season. So
yeah, it's what it is, I guess.
Yeah,
it's not an enviable position, unfortunately.
No, it's going to be an interesting year. But with that said, what fears do you have heading into this series, if any?
What fears? Just general fears about the entire roster. Like, it would just suck if some of our key players got injured or they just were underperforming. There are already some like free agents that we did bring in that have not been great. Like Hunter Renfroe was a kind of controversial one, even when he was signed, because he was signed for at least a few million dollars, and he's got an option for next year, a player option. So it's almost like a 2-year deal essentially. And yeah, he's been pretty, he's been underwhelming to say the least. So just we're just really hoping that these guys that we brought in for actual money will pull their weight, especially because we're also looking at some other younger guys that we might still have, like Nick Prado, who was expected to be our first baseman at some point, and he's been super inconsistent in his career. So now he's starting in the minors, but he's like tearing the cover off the ball down there, and so it's putting even more scrutiny on what's going on at the major league level. Like, if one guy's not good, it's like we're all going to be start screaming about it,
right?
So yeah, just general fears, I guess. We just want everyone to do their jobs, I guess.
Yeah, we may or may not have just lost Eloy Jimenez for a bit. He left.
Oh, no, again?
Yeah, already. He left the game, and it was a mess. I don't know what he did. I mean, Yoan Moncada went down too, but he at least got up and bounced back and stayed in the game. But he left, I think, almost halfway through the game, a little over halfway through the game. And I was like, okay, well, we're done.
That's American League Central stuff right there, because we just played the Twins in opening day. Royce Lewis, their guy that they had so much expectations for, was destroying us, got two hits in his first two at-bats, and then rounding the bases, like tore his quad or something. And it's like, okay, that's just normal for them, I suppose.
Eloy was just running to first, grimacing. Yeah. And I was like, we've seen this face time and time again with him every single season, usually twice a season. So I love him, but why? We can move away from this probably depressing series and talk about teams that are better than ours.
Yeah.
So for 2024, do you have any predictions or just thoughts about, you know, baseball in general, teams that might get hot?
I want to ask you, as a fellow American League Central occupier, how do you feel about the Tigers? Because I actually have them as the team that will be the eventual best of this division.
Yeah, I do too. I've been pretty hot on the Tigers for a while because they have shown a lot of signs of improvement over the years. I still don't think they're, you know, obviously top of the division. I gave that to the Guardians, actually. I think they're going to be the ones that pulled away. But I do think the Tigers are starting to reach that spot where they're actually going to start contending. They've been really smart in their offseason too. They've got great coaches. I think in the next few years, I think they will be leading the division, especially when all the, you know, old guards are kind of away and they've got this young squad. So yeah, I think the Tigers are going to be fine. Obviously, they just swept the White Sox, which is an easy feat, but they looked really good.
Yeah, because with all the talk about the Royals and like, wow, look how much these guys did and their team is so young. And then, oh, the American League Central, it's so weak and uncompetitive. Anybody could win it. I'm like, shouldn't we give at least some credit where it's due? This could apply to literally any other team in the division, pretty much. So, yeah, I've been saying the Tigers are like a team nobody's really taking all that seriously. And the guy at the top of their rotation, Tarik Skubal, for all the smoke that Cole Reagans got in the second half of last season, this guy was even better and somehow went completely unnoticed by like everybody. And I'm like, what? Guys, are you crazy? Am I missing something? But now it looks like he's starting to give people reasons to believe.
And they've got a pretty good starting rotation.
They do. General,
yeah. Aside from him, like, they look very good on paper.
Absolutely. Like, if they at least were more serious about competing and went out and got like a legit hitter or two, then I think people would really start to take them seriously.
Yeah.
But I still think just kind of the general competition in this division makes them, for me, it pushes them above.
They got Mark Canha.
Yay. Wonderful.
At least he's closer to me now than he was in New York. But what else? Who do you have atop any other divisions?
I think the only one that I don't actually think I have any like hot takes or any, you know, particularly difficult predictions or anything. I think it's going to be largely the same as last year. Baltimore will be great. I want to believe the Rangers will repeat. Well, not like repeat World Series champions or anything, but still like beat division winners. Actually, as opposed to last, they didn't repeat. that wouldn't be repeat because they didn't win the division last year, but you know, Dodgers obviously will be great. I want to say the Cubs will be good with their with Craig Counsell over there and just some stuff they did in the offseason. They were currently 0-3, so there's that. And then I think the Braves are overall just going to be the best team in baseball. Like, that roster is just way too scary.
Yeah, that roster is deep, and they probably do have the best pitching in all of Major League Baseball right now. They're just going to be on fire. I will call it now that the White Sox will get swept by them as well. It's going to be a rough
an 0-6 start. That's brutal.
A rough spring. But yeah, they're scary, and I put them at the top as well. I think they're going to be great. But I've thought about the Dodgers, and I've probably brought this up on every single one of these podcasts now, but I am hesitant towards what they're actually going to be able to do, just because they have all these superstars and all these really big egos on that team right now, and they haven't played competitively with everybody just yet. So that should be interesting to see.
It is fair. And I always say this, like, the Dodgers, they always look like a great team on paper, but then you get into the playoffs and they don't do anything. So
yeah, they're just like the Mets, where they've got this billionaire buying every single superstar they can find and then barely or not even making the postseason.
Yeah, so that'll be like my hottest take, and this is just kind of based on vibes, just for having just for the sake of having fun predictions, I'm saying the Diamondbacks actually repeat NL champions. I really became a fan of that team early on last season. I'm like, man, people are not taking this team as seriously as they should be. They are up to something. I mean, I wouldn't have told you they went to the World Series, let alone the postseason. But I'm super happy about those guys. And I'm like, now that they've been there, that the fact that they went last season, I think they're going to be really going hard this year to be like, hey, we actually are that good. That wasn't just a fluke appearance. So,
that's another young squad that they've, again, you just said it, they've been there before. They are young and talented. I agree with that, honestly. I think that they could make a pretty decent run this season. Again, not World Series bound again, but I think they could at least make it into postseason with what they've got.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They look good. Well, anything else before we end this?
No, I think that's it. I think we've talked about whatever we need to talk about with whatever it is that goes on with our teams. Our strange and unusual, very Royals heavy teams.
Yes. Well, again, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I do the Royal Deluxe podcast twice a week as part of the Fans First Sports Network, and that's on social media at Royal Deluxe Pod, D-E-L-U-X Pod. And also my own personal Twitter for moment-to-moment nonsense is at the MFNKC, where I also contribute stuff elsewhere in the Royals community.
Yes, you're very much like I am, constantly putting out good stuff. So thank you so much for joining us once again. Best of luck in this series.
Yeah, and you too. And it was great to be back and to talk to people of other teams. And it's like, oh, this is what people think about.
I know. This one's
good to get different perspectives.
There's some of these. I'm just like, these are so depressed. I have like a Rockies one this season too. And I'm like, oh man.
Well, at least, you know, that I would think that's kind of fun, because at least you get to suffer together with someone. It's like, someone will understand.
That's what I do appreciate about the Royals fans. I'm like, we know what the bottom feels like.
And we know what it's like to not have a whole lot of hope moving forward.
We can all suffer together.
Yeah. I at least hope that you guys don't have to like move or anything, because now you're getting into that phase of the fan base. And let me tell you, as someone who's dealing with some stadium nonsense right now, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun for anybody.
Yeah. I'm watching what's happening right now with Oakland, and I'm just like, I hate this already. And I know that Jerry will more than likely never sell the team. I think he's like made some pact with the king of the underworld to
whoever
survive forever. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'll be the Nashville White Sox in the next few years.
Gosh.
The Cubs could just take over Chicago and I can just never watch baseball again.
Yep.
You know, it is what it is. All right. Well, again, thank you so very much and have a good evening.
See you.